Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series, by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 38. I come in the back way. Frankie's beside me, sniffing, alert, but she settles back down and we keep going. I haven't seen anybody at the old place in a couple of months, but it's getting close to planning time, and I guess that Mr. Wilcox has surely figured out by now Daddy's not living there anymore. Maybe he has a new worker and his family living there already. Just in case, I try to move as quiet as I can. Past the still, which I know I'm going to need to move soon. Looks like it needs some work, but I don't know when I'll get to use it again. Then over by the pool, it looks just like it always has. There's one jar of shine under a rock right beside where I used to sit, cooled by the moving water. I remind myself to get it on the way back out. The boxes, I got out of their hiding place a while back. The last part of the trip is the trickiest. The bag is a little heavy, and I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want to have to explain this, not after all this time. We edge around the barn, which isn't in very good shape, not that it ever was, and head over to the little field. It's grown up so much that it takes me a while to find the spot, even though the spring growth hadn't really started yet. All the weeds and kudzu and new saplings are matted together. I stop at about where I think Daddy is and turn slow, looking at the line of trees, the barn, and the house, and decide that it's the right place. Not that anybody besides me and Frankie will ever know. The stone I picked up when I was over here last week, it's a rough, flat oval, about 12 inches across, and the writing's on the side that is going face down. I'm not doing this to advertise anything. I clear away an area just a touch bigger than the stone and use the trowel I brought to scoop out a little depression so the rock can blend in a little better. I take one more look at the writing before I lay the stone in the hollow and scatter the leftover dirt. It reads, "Here lies Nathaniel Hammond, husband and father. Died sad and angry, 2013. Take one more look around to make sure nobody's watching. I stand for a second over the stone. "Goodbye, Daddy," I whisper. "Even a mean son of a bitch like you deserves a marker." Then, "Come on, Frankie, let's get out of here. Carrie's supposed to call today and let us know how Gamaliel's doing." She moves toward me, and I notice she must have run through a cockleberry bush. I'll pick him out of her fur after we're off the property and back down at Gamaliel's house. I grab the empty bag and the trowel. "Let's not forget to stop by the pool, girl," I say, and we head off around behind the barn and into the woods. End of Book 1. Boone's story continues in Matching Scars, book two in the series. Here's how it starts out. Chapter one. So I'm sitting in the room where I first laid eyes on Gamaliel, not counting seeing just a little bit of him peeking through the front door those first times we talked. It's not my favorite room in the house. Too dark. It feels old, like all those parlors you see on TV. Anyway, I'm sitting in the chair where he was sitting that day, and I'm holding the fiddle he was playing when I let myself in. Today's phone call from Carrie was right on time, as usual. She and her asshole husband Jerry took Gamaliel to their house from the hospital after the stroke. Not quite a year ago now. I liked Carrie almost from the start, still do. She keeps me up to date on how it's going with the old man. I'd like to talk to him more, but she says it wears him out, and I can tell it does. When she puts him on the phone, it's like it used to be, but just for a few minutes. And then the silences get longer, and pretty soon she's back on the phone herself. She never puts Jerry on, which is fine by me. I still hate that son of a bitch, and I'm pretty sure he feels the same way about me. I'm turning the fiddle over in my hands. It's a good piece of woodworking. Looks like the back is maple, maybe. Wonder how long he's had this thing. I can't see into the inside very well. It's too dark in this room. There's a label of some kind. I get up and take it into the back room where all the windows are. The light is better in this room than anywhere else in the house. I should be able to make something out. As soon as I get to the window that has the most sun coming through, I hear a car pull in next to the house and the door open. It doesn't close. I take the fiddle into the kitchen and set it on the counter. Just as I turn to head out the back door, there's a knock at the front. I go halfway down the hall and take a left into Gamaliel's bedroom. He's got those real heavy curtains to keep out all the light, and they're pulled shut just like when he left to go to the hospital. Even though I've been staying here for the last 6 or 8 months, I haven't slept in his bed. Doesn't look all that comfortable, to be honest. Plus, it'd feel kind of weird. The back room, the one with all the windows, has a chair I usually fall asleep in. The window's really dirty. When I pull the curtain back a little, it's hard to make out, but it looks like Carrie's car. That doesn't make any sense, though. She hadn't had time to get down here. Just then I hear the door open and close and footsteps in the hall, and Frankie starts growling deep in her throat. Jerry steps into the bedroom doorway and stands there with his arms folded across his chest. Where's the money? For those of you who are interested in how this recording was made, I used an iMac computer with GarageBand and a Snowball Ice microphone from Blue Microphones. The next thing you hear will be me playing the theme on a Masterworks Hammer Dulcimer. I've enjoyed this a lot. I hope y'all have too. I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, played on a Masterworks Hammer Dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.